Amid the smell of hard labour, we gather and remember those who strive for a living. Amid the fragrance of flowers blooming, we gather and remember the creation of God and its travails. Amid the scent of expensive perfume, we gather to remember the gifts we did not give. Amid the trace of salty tears, we gather to remember all those who fear loss.
The reading is taken from John chapter 12, verses 1 to 11. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, the home of Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. There he gave a dinner for him. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those at the table with him. Mary took a pound of costly perfume, made of pure nard, anointed Jesus' feet, and wiped them with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, the one who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii, and the money given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. He kept the common purse and used to steal what was put into it. Jesus said, "Leave her alone. She bought it so that she might keep it for the day of my burial. You always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." When the great crowd of the Jews learned that he was there, they came not only because of Jesus, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. So the chief priests planned to put Lazarus to death as well, since it was on account of him that many of the Jews were deserting and were believing in Jesus.
Jesus, sometimes I just don't understand him. He talks about feeding the poor, about looking after the needy, and calling us to do the same. And then he allows Mary to pour expensive perfume all over him. And he says by way of an excuse that it's preparation for his burial. Well, our perfume stank. I can smell it now, and every time I smell that rich perfume, I think about the difference it could have made had we sold it and used the money to do all the things Jesus told us we should be doing. I mean, that could have fed hungry people, like 100 of them for a year. It could have been used to help refugee work. It could have been used to look after homeless children or those with disabilities or veterans suffering from trauma or loads of different things. Maybe we could have invested the money, used it wisely, put it in a long-term growth fund. We'd have got loads of interest from it. Then that money would have enabled us to educate some girls, perhaps support some peace work. Maybe enabled us to give small loans to folk to help them start up their own business. I know I'm ranting here. Although, to be honest, I expected some support from the others. They didn't seem too bothered about this extravagance. Was I the only one who'd been listening to Jesus when he talked about social justice? And then he said, "The poor will always be with you." I could have burst a blood vessel. I was so angry with him. Eventually I calmed down, well, at least enough to think about it. I have to say though, it was so unlike Jesus to accept such extravagant generosity himself. He always spoke about serving, never, well, really about being served. He spoke about loving our enemies and praying for those who are persecuted, but he never spoke much about such extravagant gifts. Or certainly not about throwing away such precious resources just so casually. I know people think I'm tight with money. And I heard the rumours. I know people think I'm a thief. But they're not true. I've experienced poverty. I know how tough life can be. And I want genuinely for everyone to enjoy the generosity of God. And I only spoke about what I thought God wanted. to share what we have with the poor. However, maybe Mary was just being generous. I mean, what do I know? Let's join in prayer. Lord Jesus, what look was on your face as you felt that cool balm of perfume douse your feet and the tender tickle of hair caress your souls? Lord Jesus, what look was on your face as the friend that you had known so well knelt at your feet and anointed your body? Lord Jesus, what look was on your face as you realised this perfume had been used once before on the body of your dear friend Lazarus? Lord Jesus, what look was on your face as Judas raised his voice, Mary's gift was questioned, and your reverie reviled? Lord Jesus, what look was on your face as Passover came ever nearer and love's final expression neared its moment? Lord Jesus, what look would be on your face as Holy Week commences once more and still the world struggles to live your expression of love? Lord Jesus, what look is on our face as the cross looms at the end of this week and we once more walk in your holy passion? Amen. When you feel the shift in focus from what's really happening to a side issue because you can't understand, or the consequences are too great, or the pain is too real, when you feel the shift in Judas exclaiming his righteous words over the poor, while in the midst of them, the whole point of the scene is avoided as the Saviour's preparation for death is sidelined over economic matters. When you feel the shift in the focus, when you feel the shift in the 12 disciples, having journeyed with him for 3 years, closest to his words, nearest his thoughts, caught not understanding, while a woman on the sidelines recognises exactly who he is. When you feel the shift from what's in plain sight as heaven enters the room and gives of itself and humbly accepts this last request, while the world moves on to another story, to welfare, away from sacrifice. When you feel the shift in the focus, when you feel the shift in the story, it's then that you realise something important and something significant has happened to our faith. The fragrance of expectation, the scent of loving grace, the trace of hope amid fear, and the aroma of abundance. May we go in love today and know God's gift is always with us in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.